Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Ross Bill, where we keep it real with the hard truth. And we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to welcome, as usual, the pastor of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry out of Bolivar, Tennessee. Yeah, Pastor Bolden. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Today we're going to discuss the unseen world. You know, I've always been interested in it. There's the show, I could still come on, called Coast to Coast AM. I think it was started by Art Bell, and I think it's now hosted by George Norrie. And they cover a variety of topics like the paranormal, things of that nature, some of the things we're going to discuss. And I've always been very interested in hearing about those kind of events, those testimonies and things of that nature. And you know, we're going to, you know, cover some of these things and see what the Word has to say about it. You know, I don't know if some of y'all might have, you know, you've been asleep, when you wake up, you can't move. You know, what causes that? And we're going to dig into, do spirits gain access to your material things that we use every day, like the clothes you wear. You know, some people, their fake hair, fake nails. Even now, some of the food is suspect. So we're going to look into that. And something I was fascinated about, too, is the Marine Kingdom. I didn't even know that existed till maybe three, four years ago. I might have heard about it, and yeah, we're gonna, you know, look into that and see the influence that they have in this world. But first, I'm gonna encourage everyone that's in DeRidder, Louisiana, to come out to on August the 7th on a Sunday, 1 p.m. to come out there on the corner of Elm Street and Vine for a tent revival that Apostle Bolden will be holding. I want to encourage as many as possible to be a part of that on August the 7th, 1 p.m. on a Sunday on the corner of Elm Street and Vine. So we want to welcome you all to come, and I have Apostle Bolden to give more details about that before the show at the end. But let's dive right into this here, the unseen world. Now, I know many people, you know, like myself, you know, you wake up from a sleep and you can't move. Now, I know there's a time or two I was asleep, and I know ain't nobody in the house but me. Now, you get up, you can't move. You're hearing noises, you're hearing footsteps, you're hearing voices, but you know good and well ain't nobody in the house but you. Mm-hmm. So we want to see what's going on with that. Well, what's causing them sleep paralysis, what they call it? And I speak for myself. I know, like, maybe a couple of years back, I was at a relative's house sleeping on my stomach, and I felt something. It felt like a little cat or a dog, you know, crawl up on my back. You could feel the paws. And so I was, it like crawled up on my back, and I felt it sit down. And I woke up, I couldn't move. So we want to dive into this. What is this? What is really going on? What's causing these attacks that go on at night? Are we giving these spirits permission? Is it a generational curse? What's going on, Apostle? What's causing these attacks at night on these people here? Especially with the young children, that they really experience things like that too. I know I experienced stuff like this when I was no youth. But what's the cause of this here?
I would definitely say one of the causes is an open door, that's for sure. And it could be a number of things, I guess you could say a number of doors that have been that could be open. There have been times when I've experienced that sleep paralysis, and I'm telling you, you know, my prayers is that nobody will get used to that.
Oh, no.
That you don't get used to that, that it don't just become a common part of your everyday life. But just to be honest with you, you know, the times that I've experienced that were times where I was not right with the Lord, you know, times where I was doing things maybe that I should not have been doing. And also other times that I've experienced that, other doors, I should say, that I had that were open for that was me having fellowship with people that I should not have had fellowship with. Maybe me sleeping at somebody's house that I should not have been sleeping at, as far as just, you know, maybe some relatives or whatever the case was. And so there are all kind of things that can open the door for sleep paralysis. But one thing I know for sure is that when that happens, something is off. Something is spiritually wrong, and I mean very wrong, to where the spirit, some kind of spirit on in the spiritual realm, has access to our natural bodies. And you know, it takes some doors to be open for that to happen. And it's almost like, you know, I always look, to me personally, I looked at it as the grace of God, because I know that God watches over his saints while we're asleep. And if you believe the word, then you know that there are angels that are sent to protect us and to guard us from the kingdom of darkness. And so you have to think about this. Those spirits that overtake people when they're sleeping, they have to have permission from the righteous kingdom first. You know, especially if we're living for the Lord. So that's why I say that it has to be us, especially if we're believers. We're the ones that have to have given them an open door, some kind of way, maybe into our lives. Somewhere, if we're experiencing that as believers, we've disobeyed the word somewhere. You see, we've disobeyed the word somewhere. Somewhere, because of those attacks. The enemy don't just have a right to come lay his hands on us without us opening the door some kind of way, especially in that manner, in our sleep like that. And I imagine, you know, different people experience different things when that happens. You know, when I've experienced it, I know good and well I'm awake. I know there have been times I've tried to convince, no, I'm asleep. I'm just, let me see if I can go back to sleep. You know, because right now I'm just asleep. But, you know, I'm wide awake. I went to sleep watching what was on TV, and it's still playing. So I know I ain't crazy. I'm awake, but I can't move. You know, when you come to that conclusion, then you know, wait a minute, it's something off here. I've done something here, you know. And I tell you, it's the strangest thing. You ain't got to believe in Jesus to call on him when you know that you've been, feel like you're being held down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're one of those people that you just got to have control over your life, and you wake up one night, you know, with that, just make you rethink some things. And so, yeah, definitely, I would say that a door has been opened. And to me, I say it's the grace of God, because, you know, the first thing we should do when we come out of that is say, okay, Lord, you got my attention. What door have I opened? And let's get it closed. Because I can't speak for anybody else, but for me and people that I have talked to, you know, that have dealt with this, it's always been the same thing. I've opened up a door somewhere in my life, and I need to close it. And so that's my assessment of that. Usually it's an open door, whether it's our own life or we're intertwined with somebody who is dealing with that. And then the next thing you know, it's on us. You see, we're dealing with it.
That's interesting. I know I spoke to a couple of brothers about that a couple of nights ago. And that had me thinking. I know myself when I was younger. You know, things I used to see it, you know, see it at night. I'm talking about like shadow people, you know, just walking around, you know. And I ain't think about it till just a few days ago. What could have been done to open that portal? And I thought about, maybe this is it. But I know growing up, my older sister and brother, they used to rent a lot of horror movies. You know, this, I know at one point in time, I should go to the video store. And they'd be like saying, oh, we done seen all these films and stuff. And so I just wanted to know maybe what we watch on the TV or something could be, maybe what we watch. I mean, we done seen all the Friday the 13th movies, all the Jason. I mean, they done cut the man head off and they make a new one. So something. I'm saying the man ought to be dead by now. But yeah, that was one thing I just thought about. They used to bring a lot of horror films. And I said, and then had all kind of activities going on at night while we were asleep. So I think, the TV, some of the TV, some of the movies you watch. And I seen a video on even these cartoon characters, even though they may seem innocent. But, I think even what, I think somebody did a video about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, all those angry and sleepy and droopy, or just, I know that seem innocent, but, there's something behind that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I guess you got to be careful, what you watch on TV. Like to me, it seemed like the safest thing to watch on TV now is maybe the Food Network. Or maybe news. That seemed to be the safest thing to watch. Now myself, I like to watch some of them old Sanford and Son and some Jefferson, some old stuff, but this modern day stuff, I got so much, men on men loving women grinding on one another, there's so much going on. So I really do believe that TV, what we watch, can really bring some destruction in your home.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. In fact, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms, the 101st number of Psalms. I'm gonna read that just to kind of just back up with the Bible what you're saying. It's the 101st number of Psalms. I'm gonna start reading at verse 1. It says, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. Will I sing? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." And so, when you read that, how he's saying in verse 3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." You think about, it seemed like David had a very good understanding that some of the things we see is designed to cripple us spiritually, so, and is designed to stunt our growth, which is why he says, "I hate the work of them that turn aside." When you think about what sleep paralysis is, we that are spiritual minded, we know there's something more to it than just waking up. Because I've heard people in the world, they tried to explain it and say, oh, you're just not all the way woke yet. Your brain is awake, but your body it just can't move. And I just ain't never bought that. I ain't never, because I know there have been times where, every time I've been in that, I've understood it's something wicked in this room. There's a presence here, and it ain't godly. God ain't got to sit on you to talk to you. So I know, no, this ain't of God at all. This is something wicked, And so, I just sincerely believe that we can watch certain things and those things can cleave to us. And before we know it, we've invited something in. And you think about it, especially if you're not a believer, especially if you haven't gone through that several times, you know, the first thing that strikes a person is fear. You know, trying to figure out what's going on and then wondering, am I dead? Am I going to wake up out of this? Am I going to, you know, all kind of things cross your mind when you first start dealing with that. And so, you know, you know, God don't come in with his presence to strike fear in us. And I just believe, you know, of course, we get to a point where we no longer fear because we know what's going on. But at the same time, we have to deal with what's going on spiritually in our own lives, you see. And one of those things could be the things that maybe that we're watching on television, you know, and not just on television, on YouTube, you know, on our phones, whatever the case may be. We can set our eyes on things that we should not be watching. You know, I don't know if you remember, it was a show. It was I never watched it, but I just thought, I heard other people talking about it. And to me, I thought, no, that's wicked, because the people I've heard talk about it, they just said it was a present. And it was just something that they wish they never watched. I think it was called Faces of Death. I don't know if you remember that. It was basically cameras catching people dying. Like, different things would happen. Like, I remember I was told that in one part of it, a woman was trying to, you know, people that they was coming out from work and had train tracks right there that she needed to cross. And she tried to beat the train. And she didn't beat it. It hit her. Okay. And her body just exploded into like a million pieces. Like just little chips of flesh went everywhere. Like she just immediately exploded when that train hit her. And so they put all of this in a compilation for people. You know, this was something that was on DVD and on VHS back then. And it was just the vilest things. You know, you saw the carnage of wrecks, of car wrecks, and what people look like after the wreck, and them just laying out in the street, and one leg across the street and another leg over here and a torso over there. You know, just watching that. And, you know, I was talking with an individual that had watched that, and they said that they wish they had never watched that, because just this eerie feeling, and just, you know, it was like they were describing this presence that was with them because they had watched that. And that made me not ever want to watch that. And I could see how, you know, like what you were saying, Friday the 13th. It's amazing that people go to watch scary movies to be scared. You know that it's gonna strike fear in you, but still it's like this thrill of it, you know. And you know, to me, it's just adding to the fuel of fear in the lives of people. And like you said, I believe that there's definitely something that can open up a door for this sleep paralysis and things to take place in the lives of people.
Oh yes, and we're talking about the unseen world. And another thing too, and I'm listening online to different testimonies and people accounting, they kind of got the different people saying about the same thing. So there must be something there to it. They say sometimes they have spirits who can get through some of the things where we're using, like sometimes your clothes, sometimes these artificial hair, and these nails. Sometimes, you know, look at it as, you know, vanity. And, you know, like I said, some say, you know, that's, sometimes they use real human hair. That I don't understand. You buy somebody else's hair and sew it onto yours. I never understood that. But you know, that's, so would you say that a possibility too? You know, there's, you know, certain brands, you know, they have certain symbols, and you know, people with these pressed on nails, you know, when they put this stuff on, it's like they become a totally different person. Mm-hmm. You know, even they got men wearing these extensions and long purple and green hair and fingernails and stuff, and they seem to take on a whole nother identity. Mm-hmm. So would you say, you know, those kind of things can really, you know, spirits attached to, you know, some of the clothes we wear, or some of these artificial things that people put on their bodies.
Yeah, I believe so. And one of the reasons why I believe that is because there's such a pull for people who are dealing with that. They have such a pull towards it that they can't explain it. You know, a woman will cut her own hair to put somebody else's hair there. You know, and sometimes all she got to do is take care of her hair, whatever, scalp, whatever, and just be happy with whatever hair she has. But sometimes, you know, to me, it's too much of a pull. You know, of course, you know, I believe what the Bible says, and I believe that's in the book of Psalms as well, where the Lord says, I hate every false way. I hate every false way. You know, of course, and we've all heard that, you know, how women, they say, I want a real man. But, you know, women can grow their own nails. They can grow their own hair, you know, or whatever. All these things. And so to me, because there's such a pull toward it, that women have such a, can and men too, I imagine today, can have such a pull towards that, you know, that there's something spiritual behind it. You know, when I'm going to just share this story, and I've shared this before. Well, years ago, when I was in the military, I was staying with my grandmother, and I was helping to take care of her. And one morning, I would fix her coffee every morning. I would fix her coffee and breakfast every morning. I would bring it to her bed. And pretty soon, of course, I would fix a whole pot of it for her, you know, but she wasn't going to drink the whole pot, so I started drinking some coffee. And one morning, I caught myself thinking, this is the first thing I'm thinking about every morning when I wake up is coffee. And I knew this is a problem for me. And I could see the pull towards it. And from that day to this, I haven't drunk coffee. And that was back in 1994. From that day to this, I never drunk coffee. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to drink coffee. I'm saying I could feel the pull. I knew something was off if the first thing I'm thinking about when I wake up in the morning is drinking coffee. I could feel the pull towards it. Not getting up and using the bathroom, not getting up to pray, not getting up to do anything. Let me just get to the coffee pot and put my coffee on. And so from that, I knew this is one of those things, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. That was for me. And so when I saw the pull that I had towards it, because, and Paul continued, goes on to say, all things are lawful, but I would not be brought under the power of any. And so for me, now that was just for me. I'm not saying that, putting that on anybody else. But for me, I saw the pull, and I knew I did not want to be brought under the power of that. And I'm saying that to say this. It could be the same thing for an individual that's wanting fake hair, that's wanting fake nails, that's wanting certain clothes. You know, I say this. This is how you know when you have an issue with it. Just try to give it up for a week. Try to give it up for a month. Go a month wearing only your hair, or only your fingernails, or you know, and not just that, Brother Harold, but go a month trying to not wear makeup if you wearing makeup. You know, see how you feel about yourself. See when you feel yourself, if you lay something down for a week or a month, and you start having withdrawals, and you're moody, and you're in a bad mood, and ain't nothing going right in your life because you can't wear fake nails or fake hair or whatever, then you know there's something spiritual attached to it. You know, and to me, it's all a ploy of the enemy. I think it opens up doors, whether people know it or not. You know, and some of us may remember, you mentioned Friday the 13th, and you were talking about the movie. But there was also, and I want to encourage people to go look up that series. There was a series called Friday the 13th. In that series, it had nothing to do with what the movie was about. It wasn't about a man out killing. But what it was about, and some of you may remember, what it was about a couple of young people and an older man. They had in the young people, I think they were brother and sister or something like that. And they had inherited a shop that their uncle or brother or their daddy or somebody had passed down to them. And this shop had, the man, it was like an antique shop or some kind of shop where people over the years had bought things from it. But they did not know that those things were cursed. And so the TV series was based on this niece and nephew or whoever they were to this man. Their job was to go around collecting all of these items because all of these items had certain curses on them. And because and so the people were buying these items not knowing that they were cursed and not knowing that these items were affecting their life. Now, a lot of times those things are reality. You know, people aren't just pulling these ideas out of the sky somewhere. Things really can be cursed, and especially things that we attach to our bodies. Clothing, just different things. I think about even Air Jordans. When they first came out, when I was younger, people were getting killed over them. You know, paying a lot of money and then having to be able to fight or run fast to keep somebody from killing them over those shoes. And so, yeah, I think about things like that. Some things just have curses attached to them. And I think we as believers, we have to be very, very prayerful about the things that we buy. Not only the things that we buy, Brother Harold, but the things that we receive from other people. That's something that I try to warn people about. If I give you something with the intention on getting something back, then right there, you ought to know that that's witchcraft. If I give you something to be able to control you later or to be able to hang it over your head, that's witchcraft. Now, in human terms, we think, well, you're just trying to get one up on me or whatever the case is. But spiritually, so if I give you something and it's free to you, but in my heart and my mind, I'm intending on collecting something else. I'm giving you this, but I'm intending on getting to your conscience for when I need a favor, then you know that there's a curse attached to it. You know, and so I think the same thing with weave and fake nails and things like that. I don't know what human, the Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. The woman's hair is her glory. Why do you want horses' glory? Or some other lady who you don't know over in India? Mm-hmm. You know they ain't serving God. That's not their religion over there. So why do you want that crown? We have to start thinking. And I tell you, the hardest people get to sometimes the church folks with this, they're just going right along with the world and not knowing what in the world is going on in their life and how those things are beginning to happen and why. You see, so that's my judgment on that. I sincerely believe because I've seen the pull of it. When you preach holiness and you tell women you don't need all of that, God don't intend for you to wear somebody else's hair and nails and things like, just watch the kickback. Okay. If it's a devil there, you're gonna know it then, you see. Oh, yeah. And just the fact that people can't take that stuff off without getting grumpy and ready to fight you over it, that let me know, okay, yeah, you've been exposed, you see, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're talking about fake hair, fake nails, fake eyelashes. You don't want a real man. That's how I go. And me, I try to encourage men and women as I can. Just go natural. To me, my personal opinion, that's a better look. Mm-hmm. No makeup, wear your natural hair, that your natural fingernails. That's to me. I always tell them, less is more. Mm-hmm. So just go natural. You don't need all that makeup. Just if your hair fuzzy, if it's straight, just fade. Work with it. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. That's a good look. The natural look. That, can't beat it. Yeah. And you saying something about shoes and that remind me of what's that rapper name? Little Nas X, something like that. Mm-hmm. Had some selling some tennis shoes with real human blood, I guess. Mm-hmm. If that's the real deal. So I don't understand why folks like that get so popular. I mean, the man is jumping down the pole, giving the devil a lap dance, and he's selling shoes with blood in it. It seems like the foolish things is just it just gains ground. I don't get it. That's just something I don't understand. Somebody selling shoes with what's in human blood.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of man? And that's I don't know what's that. I don't understand.
I tell you what, you know, here's the big question, Brother Harold. Who in the world is making those shoes? He ain't in his basement trying to get an order out. He's not down there sewing them together. Somebody agreed to make that foolishness. You know, it might have been his idea, but this, you know, just to comment on what you're saying, it just seemed like the kingdom of darkness has done come out to play.
Oh, yeah.
They done come out, you know, they are letting you know we here. You know, I tell you, Brother Harold, and I just want to say this, you know, just on what I'm saying here. I've been noticing, I know how to look in people's eyes and see if they're demon possessed. You know, and what I mean is the manifestation. You know, when demons manifest, is a certain look that people have in their eyes. And I'm seeing that more and more. It used to be the devil would hide, you know, what he was doing behind the scenes there. But I'm seeing more and more, it's like the possessed, it's like the devil is just bringing it out of the woodwork in this world now, where it's becoming more and more common. It's becoming more and more common. And just like you said, even those shoes is an example. You know, the fact that this man want to sell shoes with human blood in it. And then you have to ask, whose blood? And what's supposed to be the attraction to that? Like, who would want to buy shoes like that? You know, when I was growing up, and some of you, I'm sure most of you in here are too young to remember, they had pocket shoes. Shoes with little pockets on the side. That's what we wanted. You know. Yeah. Shoes with pockets where you can put your little change in. That was something that was useful. You know, you got a shoe with a pocket on it, you good to go. I don't understand what you gonna do with the blood. You know. And so, and this was back in the 80s, around 1984, 85, somewhere in there, where they didn't last long, you know, but yeah, we wanted a pair of them. But, you know, now they done moved from just innocent pockets on your shoes to blood. Mm. And it just makes you wonder, you know, the devil understands the power of blood. He understands that when blood is shed, there's a covenant somewhere. There's a covenant somewhere. And that's, I tell you, that's something that I tell you, saints better be prayerful about. Because I'm telling you, the kingdom of darkness, they ain't in the middle of the earth anymore. They on top. And they are doing their thing. And they're making that kingdom the normal kingdom now, where even believers are just accepting the foolishness, you know, and things like that. That's too sad and it's too bad for people who are not spiritually watchful. You know, I tell you, even with clothes, we have to be prayerful about what clothes we're putting on people. You know, when I was in college, one of my professors, he said something very interesting, because he was just a normal, plain man. He didn't wear a name brand clothes or anything like, you know, any of the popular clothes, I should say. But he said, you know, somebody had a hat that said Air Jordan on it or something like that. And he said, that's very interesting there. He said, You'll pay $30 or $40 for a hat to advertise somebody else. He said, all that is an advertisement for somebody else. You know, you're paying them to advertise them. And I thought, now that's an interesting concept there. That's very interesting when you think about it. And, you know, and I just think there's a pull to fashion, you know, and name brands. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wearing good shoes, you know, because the fact of the matter is, a lot of times if you want good shoes, you're going to have to buy some good shoes, you know, and a lot of times it's going to have names on them. But there's a difference between wanting good shoes that's going to last long, that might have a name on it, a name brand, versus having a pull towards it. Some people got every year Jordan never came out with shoes. Every year, every color of every year, got outfits to match the orange, the purple, they got matching outfits for that. And that's when you know, okay, this is a problem. This is a problem when there's a pull to it, when you're being drawn to it. You know then that it's something spiritual.
Yes, I'm here. Talking about the unseen world, you know, we're covering, you know, these attacks late at night, sleep paralysis, you know, you're seeing beings, some spirits, whatever, standing by your bed, and that reminds me of something. I remember my own, what was I, 6 or 7? I don't know. Something was in that room. I tell you, I put the blanket over my head and I could feel something pulling it. But no pulling back on it. I'm like, man, what's. Maybe it could have, if it wanted me, it could have overpowered me. I ain't more nothing, but maybe it's between 6 or 7, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I kid you not, I had the blanket over my head and this something was just. I'm trying to fight it off for him. I said, man, I don't know what got loose up in that house. But, Dad, we're talking about, you know, spirits getting in clothes. And people do say, you know, even when you buy your clothes and things like that, you should not pray over it. But you just never know. You know, before we get to Marine King, I want to, let's talk about this food issue here, and that's it seems like ain't nothing really too safe to eat. I'll tell you right now, if y'all ain't know this is a different kind of broadcast here. This ain't you know how we dig into stuff that might sound a little weird to you, but it's I don't know what to tell you, but seems like some of the food, well. You're talking about blood and stuff, and you see a lot of missing children going on, and I know it might sound a little graphic, but you know, we got a lot of missing children, so you're seeing that a lot. I don't know, maybe they're disappearing, maybe they're somebody getting them for a blood sacrifice. Never know, and you're talking about hearing different things about these meats, ground beef and stuff like that. You don't know if it's coming from the actual cow. You don't know if you're eating maybe some human. You might be eating humans. They might have blended human body parts and the ground beef and stuff like that. This day and age, you just never know. But all these abductions, missing children, and sometimes you can say some of the fruits, some of the even the fruits and vegetables, some of the things that you that's deemed as healthy for you. You know, some things you got to be watchful for that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say you always should pray over your food. Now, like I said, this might, I know it might sound strange or weird or whatever, but y'all, this is a serious business out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I ain't trying to, discuss nobody, nothing like that, but you just never know what are we really eating out there. Mm-hmm. What's really in our food? What are they really putting in there? Mm-hmm. No, that's just, I ain't trying to, I know it might. Might sound a little cuckoo to some of you, but hey, just think about it. You know, but go to certain places they call this is supposed to be chicken. Don't look like chicken to me. Mm-hmm. I know what chicken looking tastes like and feel like. I don't know. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying. This is a this is a different kind of broadcast, so you know, just I supposed to always be prayerful over everything. What we eat, like I say, even some of the clothes that, you know, we purchase or whatever, just got to be, you know, prayerful about some of these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, even the Word of God tells us not to eat things sacrificed to idols. So this particular subject should not be so far-fetched to believers. But it tells us in the Word of God not to eat things sacrificed to idols. And so then we have to ask ourselves, so what's being sacrificed to idols? You know, and how do you know that? You just like you said, you have to be prayerful. I'm talking about we as believers, we need to pray about everything. You know, we talk about clothes. That shouldn't be that far-fetched to believers either. I'm going to tell you why. Because we're told in the book of Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God. And he goes on to talk about the spiritual armor that we can't necessarily see. And so here's what God has given me about it. If he has an armor, then the devil has an armor. And we know that the devil's armor is a natural armor, if that makes any sense. Spiritual, but it appeals to our natural senses. It's an armor that we can touch, but it has spiritual implications to it, you see. And so if God has an armor, in other words, if he has spiritual clothes, then the devil also has clothes. And we have to be praying and asking the Lord, so what do we need to avoid to keep from putting certain things on, you know?
Oh, yeah. One final thing here with the Marine Kingdom. To me, this is interesting to me, because I never heard about this kingdom until about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Hear about the Marine Kingdom and the influence that they have on this world, as far as I guess as far as the clothes we wear. I think even Simpson, I like to wear cologne myself, but you know, that might even be safe. You know, it all just depending on the influence of his kingdom. So I heard you mention that in one of your sermons briefly about the Marine Kingdom. But mm-hmm. If you don't mind, you can, you know, give us some insight on it, what it's all about, and you know, what is their goal mm-hmm. to do to mankind.
Well, you know, I sincerely pray that the listeners and the viewers of this broadcast will really have an open heart to receive what's being said, because these things are meant to help you. You know, sometimes people have problems in their life, they have issues that they can't get rid of, and have problems that can't be solved through the things that they're trying to solve them with. And a lot of times these problems are directly related to exactly what we're talking about in this particular broadcast. You know, when you're talking about the Marine Kingdom, of course, it's a kingdom that can't be seen. And so, you know how the world is. If I can't see it, it ain't real. So I'm just going on with my life. Well, unfortunately, you can't see the devil either, but he's real. You can see the effects of the devil. You know, you can see it with all the murder in the streets. There's a spirit of murder. You can see it with all the rape in the streets. There's that spirit. So, you know, you might not be able to see the devil with your natural eye, but you can see the fruit of him. You know that there's evil in the world, and it ain't flesh and blood. There's something driving people. And so, you know, when you're talking about, and a lot of times we can accept, brothers and sisters, we can accept the devil on top of the earth. But we have an issue, some of us, we may have an issue with him being beneath the earth. And when I say beneath the earth, I mean in water, in the sea, in the water, the bodies of water. So let's go look at that now. Let's go to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and we're going to read and see something. And my prayers is that this will help us. We want to read this scripture because we want to, this group of scriptures, because we want to, we Everything that's in the Bible is in there for a reason, and we want people to see what God had to say about it. Now, you might not, up until this time, ever thought about there being a marine kingdom, in other words, a kingdom underneath the water. but we'll go more into detail about it in a little bit. Disney understand that, which is why the Little Mermaid was made. You know, there's a kingdom under the water. And unfortunately, they made it a cartoon and made it something that's attractive to young children. But, of course, the devil is a genius at introducing his kingdom to children to help them to grow up and receive those things. So, is everybody there? The 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I'm going to start reading at verse 7. It says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." Everybody see that? Michael and his angels, who did he fight against? The dragon. Now, y'all hold on to that. He fought against the dragon. We're going to go to another scripture in a little bit. "And the dragon fought and his angels." Everybody see that? "And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven." Everybody see? That means whatever building he was renting up there, whatever house he was living in, he had no more place there. Verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out." Everybody see that? That old what? Serpent called who?
The devil.
And who?
Satan.
The devil and Satan. So this is letting you know who the dragon is. So you don't think it's some mythical somebody. He's real. Everybody understand? It says, "So the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Everybody see? So this dragon, his job is to deceive the whole world. His number one deception is to move in channels that people won't even think about. That's part of his deception. You know, people say, "Well, you know, it's a devil everywhere. You just think it's a devil." No, yeah, and he is everywhere. You know, it's people killing each other all over the world. It's all kind of devilment going on, and him and his angels are behind that. So we have to know that he's effective in this world. The Bible says that he's the prince of this world. So if he's the prince of this world, he has the right to run it. He has the right to operate in it for a season until the Lord comes back. Everybody understand now? So let's look what it says. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." Now pay attention to verse 12 now, brothers and sisters. "Therefore rejoice ye," who?
Heavens.
"And ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of what?
The
earth and of what?
The sea."
Uh-oh. Everybody see that now? "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." That's us. Y'all on earth?
Yes, sir.
"And of what?"
The sea.
That means it's somebody inhabiting the sea that ought to be able to read this and understand this. This ain't the fish. Does everybody understand that? You know, we ain't got gills. We can't live underwater, but something is. "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea." Why did he say that? "For the devil is come down unto" who? You. Not just to the earth, but to the sea. Everybody see that? "Because he knoweth, and having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." So this scripture here lets us know that the devil's kingdom ain't just on top of this earth, it's beneath the sea as well. There's some inhabitants under there, y'all. Everybody understand that? And we might not understand it, but it's in the Bible. Does everybody see now? And so this, my prayer is that we will accept this, what this word says. Everything, every word that's in this Bible is in here for a reason. There is a kingdom of darkness under the sea. You know, and we were explaining this earlier about how, what do we think it is that draws people to the sea, that draws people to the water? What is it that causes people to wear bathing suits that can't swim? They ain't, bathing suit is just that, to take a bath in. But they're not out there bathing. What are they out there doing? Just walking around half naked, showing their figures, you know, showing what only their husband should see or only what their wife should see or whatever, out there showing all of that and have no reason. And they're not planning on swimming out there. They're not planning on fishing. Just out there. What is it? It's a worship system for the kingdom of darkness. Does everybody understand that? It's something out there in that sea that they're worshiping. That's what it boils down to. You know, and I think we as believers, we have to come to this place where we empty our minds of what's normal in this world and really start thinking, why is it that people are drawn to the beaches? Even so-called Christians are drawn to the beaches to wear things that's not fitting, to wear things that's not convenient. Why are people drawn to the sea? They can't swim. Why are people drawn to the water? These are things we need to really stop and think about. And I'm telling you, if we will receive what's being said tonight in this broadcast, it will open up our eyes to why people are drawn to the sea. There's a kingdom there that want to be worshipped, and that's the church service that goes on there on the sand. People laying out bathing, you know, are laying out getting tans or doing whatever it is they're doing. You know, all these things are part of the kingdom of darkness. All of these things are part of that. And we read right here in the Bible where the devil didn't just come to the earth. He came to the sea. You see, he came to the sea, to the bodies of water. He has a kingdom there. And we have to be careful that we're not playing with that kingdom. Not just on the earth. We know we don't want none of that. But also in the sea as well. Let's not have any parts of that, brothers and sisters.
And some, you brought you mentioned the Little Mermaid. We spoke earlier on about the figure that it kind of ties into with the fake hair and nails. Mm-hmm. You know, they can trying to perceive this, you know, this image. You know, like you said earlier on, this hourglass figure shape, and that's what is when you see the Little Mermaid. That's exactly what's exactly what you see, a attractive woman with a half human upper body, lower body fish, but you know, very appealing to the eyes, and like you said, that's something a lot of women would aim for. That's why they get I guess, like you said, some men too. They get extensions and just like some women do, wearing see-through blouse and all that good stuff. But yeah, you see women go through extremes to get that perfect look. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna spending hours on getting get some hair sold on. I'm paying hours. And you know, so that's like I said, those that may be listening, I know that might seem a little strange, a little weird to you, but just all I ask y'all just have an open mind to it, and just think about it, and it'll add up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'd like to read another group of scriptures.
Oh yeah.
So do y'all remember what we read? What I told y'all to hold on to in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, about the what? The dragon, right? All right, now let's go to the 41st chapter of the book of Job. And this, I'm going to read this chapter to because, again, the Bible always backs up the Bible. And this is just designed to help us to understand that there is a kingdom, brothers and sisters, a marine kingdom. And my sincere prayers is that we will take heed to this, and we'll see something here if we'll allow the Lord to open up our eyes and help us to understand. All right, the 41st chapter of the book of Job, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Now, at this time, you know, of course, Job and his friends, they've been playing philosophy back and forth with each other. Job's friends, some of them accusing him of not being righteous. And Job is saying, I am righteous. I just think I might be just going through something, basically. And so at some point, God gets tired of all of the foolish talking and all of the things that they're speaking. And So God comes to Job and basically begins to make his case. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Can you tell me how this happened? Tell me how I did this. Tell me. Basically, he's basically letting Job know, your mind is not at a place where you can question me. You know, you shouldn't be pondering some things. Just go through with it. Now, this is a lesson for us as believers. Everything ain't got to have a reason. Just go through it. Does everybody understand now? So here this is a continuation of him straightening Job up in his philosophies. So is everybody there? 41st chapter of the book of Job. We're going to start reading at verse 1. It says, "Canst thou draw out who? Leviathan, with an hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down?" Now, a lot of people think this is talking about an alligator, but it's not. We're going to keep reading this now. It says, "Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him or thy mate for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet for him of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle and do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me?" In other words, people are scared of this Leviathan. They want no parts of him, but I can draw him out with a hook. So if everybody in the world is scared of him, then why are you questioning me? And I can do this to him if you're scared of him, you see. So he says, "Who has prevented me?" In other words, who can challenge me, basically, is what he's saying. Look what he says there. "That I should repay him. Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion." Everybody see that? "Who can discover the face of his garment?" Now, this whole chapter, he's talking about Leviathan, everybody. "Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are what? His pride. Shut up together as with a closed seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out." Everybody see that now? Who is this talking about? The dragon. Isn't that what a dragon does? Breathe fire? Let's go and keep reading. You see that? "Out of his nostrils goeth what? Smoke, as of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of what? His mouth." Is that an alligator? This is the real deal, y'all. "In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yeah, as hard as a piece of nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breaking they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold the spear, the dart, nor the haragorn. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood." Everybody see that? "The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laughed at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot." Everybody see that? He maketh the deep to do what? That's talking about hell. "He maketh the sea like a what?" Everybody see that now? "He maketh the path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be oary. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear." Let's go and keep reading the last verse. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of who?
Pride.
But look at what verse 1 says. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook? So where's Leviathan at? Beneath the sea. But verse 34 says what? He is a king over all the children of pride. It's talking about a kingdom beneath the sea. And it's talking about the terror that comes with that kingdom. Does everybody understand now? So, brothers and sisters, there is a kingdom. There is a marine kingdom beneath the sea. It is a real thing. And we do good to study this out and to make sure that we're not a part of that marine kingdom. To make sure that we're not going to the annual conference. You know, we do good to just be careful. You think about I'm going to even say this. Yeah, brother and sister, we even have to be careful. My wife and I, when we first got married, we wanted to go on a cruise for our honeymoon, but I just didn't feel right about it at all, and I couldn't find a cruise where people were acting saved. And I know I don't like being around debauchery. I don't want to be around your free drinks, you drinking all day, all night. I don't want to be around the party, and I don't want to be around all of that. You know, my party is in church. You know, that's my party, worshiping God. So even in that, you have to think, people get on a boat, they go in a circle, a big wide circle, and then they come back home. Are people getting saved in that circle? Everybody understand that? And you can count on something, somebody going to come up missing. The devil want to sacrifice. Does everybody understand now? Yeah, so, you know, those are things for us to think about, brothers and sisters. I'll even go as far as to say this. You think about how in those places where there are bodies of water, a lot of times when murder takes place, what do they do with the body? Dump it in the water. What is that? A sacrifice to the kingdom, to the marine kingdom. Everybody see? A sacrifice to the marine kingdom. You can just very well, I don't want to help anybody out in that foolishness, but it's a whole lot of stuff you could do with dead bodies instead of throwing them in the water. You know what's going to happen a little later. What's going to happen? 2 miles away, they're going to be floating somewhere. I don't care how you tie them down. Something under there is going to untie them. They're going to come up floating. I want to mention one more thing, Brother Harold. Years ago, I worked at a place. And it was a young man that worked there. Apparently, I was kin to him, but I don't know how we were kin. I remember when he came back to work, because I started working there, and then he came back to work. And they told me, we have to watch him. And I said, well, what's going on? And I remember him just sitting there, just kind of just looking down, you know, in the booth there, just kind of with his head down. And they said he had a twin brother that died a couple of weeks ago. And they said that the way he died, he went swimming in a lake. And the water was apparently was very, very clear. And he was only maybe 8 feet or 10 feet down in that water. And something sucked him down and held him to the bottom there. And they're all standing there, but they're afraid to jump in because they know it's a force there that's holding him down. You know, and I don't know what the term was, but I immediately knew, no, this was something demonic. This was some spirit there. And I think about how people go swimming in bodies of water and how they always getting caught up in a current or some kind of underdraft or something, and they just immediately drop to the bottom. I've always thought this has to be. You have experienced swimmers that are being pulled under for no reason and being held down. Can't come up, can't swim back up, being held down. And I immediately think, there's something to this. There's got to be a dark kingdom under there. Even before I knew about a marine kingdom, I've always thought this is something spiritual. Because you got this guy that went swimming, he was an experienced swimmer. And the water was perfectly clear where they could see him and the terror in his face. But nobody had the heart to jump in because they knew if he's down there, like something was sucking him to the bottom of that lake there. And they couldn't, and it was like there was nothing they could do about it. They just had to stand there and watch it. And you read about in the news and articles and things, all of the drownings and how one person go out there and they're drowned, then another person go out there. I think in Louisiana a few years ago, I think it had like 5 family members that drowned, one after the other, going in after the other one. And nobody could come out of that? No, brothers and sisters, there's a marine kingdom. And it ain't and it's not a good kingdom. It takes sacrifices from this earth, you know, and I'm telling you, we have to be prayed up, you know, before we go, you know, so that we're not pulled into that kingdom. Yeah, that's all I was going to say.
I want to thank everybody that's listening and is going to listen to this later on, talking about the unseen world, covering, you know, what causes attack while you're sleeping. You know, we're called sleep paralysis. Sometimes some of us might have seen some spirits near your bed. You know, just looking at you and recovering, you know, what was there, the portal open? Well, did they give permission to come in? You know, even believers, you know, you hear about them something trying to suffocate them while they're asleep. You know, but we're going to wrap it up. But one thing, like you said, one thing I find, you know, you just call on the name of Jesus or whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's going to leave you, mm-hmm. even if you can't say nothing, but you just shout that name out loud as you can in your mind, mm-hmm. just in your mind alone, whatever it is, it vanishes right away. Mm-hmm. So that there's. When they say it's power in the name of Jesus, that's a real statement.
You got that right.
There really is. Amen. And recovery, you know, spirits possibly gaining access to clothes, fake hair, fake nails, and that kind of ties into that marine kingdom that you were talking about. You know, being around the water and you know people trying to get somewhere. Yes, some men trying to have these. Our class figures too. that's the world we live in. Yes, they are. And they got some saying they're these fools. I know it might sound a little weird to you, but y'all, even some of these chickens, like a barbecue place down the road from me. It's good. Now the leg quarter. Almost the size of an infant. it's a real good barbecue place, but man, that's a big old leg quarter. Man. So I don't know what they doing to these foods in here. Let's see here. I know I saw some online. I think I saw an Asian lady injecting some kind of chicken in it, and that joke got big. It plumped up, so they're doing something to the foods. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know what they're pumping in there. Won't be surprised. Like I said, they're sacrificing. Maybe they're got human blood in these foods, and maybe human. But I hope ain't no human want to eat a hot dog or nothing like that. But I don't. I'm just saying, folks, it's something to think about. We cover the marine kingdom, showing that it does exist and the influence that it has on this world. Mm-hmm. And Apostle, we're going to give you the last words. You can tell people, some new listeners. I found out this morning, we got some listeners I'll look at the podcast, but also you can listen to the Rossville podcast on, I think we're on pretty much any way you listen to your podcast, you'll be able to listen. And they've got a couple of listeners over in Russia. Hmm. Yeah, so it's just starting to spread out a little bit there. Mm-hmm. But anybody Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll give out the website to the ministry and tell the people in Louisiana what they can look forward to on August the 7th.
All right.
And in a center prayer, too.
All right. Thank you. So you can, our website is www.1truth.tv. That's www.1truth.tv. Of course, we're going to have a tent revival August 7th at 1 p.m. And that's Central Standard Time in my hometown of DeRidder, Louisiana. And in fact, it's going to be on the property that I grew up on. That's 1037 Elm Street. And that you'll find that on the corner of Elm and Vine. We want to meet you out there, and you can expect some good worship. You know, we'll be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You can expect some prayer. You can expect some word, and to be edified in the things of God. And come on out if you're sick or if something's going on with you spiritually. We'd be more than happy to pray with you, because this is a deliverance ministry, and we want to see people set free. And of course, since we were talking about sleep paralysis and people being held down in their sleep, we want to pray for people right now, for people to be delivered from that and people to be set free from whatever doors they may have opened in their lives, for them to be set free from that. So let's bow our heads and just say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had together, Lord, to speak your word and to share these things, these topics, Lord, that you've given us to share. And Lord, we pray that you have opened the hearts and the eyes of people to help them to receive and hear and have an understanding of the things that we've talked about, Lord. We thank you for using this broadcast to bless people all around the world, God. And we pray that you will allow it to reach out to even more people, God, so that they can be blessed, Lord. We ask that you will expand the territory of this broadcast. And God, right now, we lift up people, Lord, who find themselves in the things that we've talked about tonight. Those that have experienced sleep paralysis and those who are still experiencing it. Right now, God, we ask that you will break the power of the devil in their lives, Lord. Whatever doors may have been opened, Lord, we ask that you will reveal it and close those doors. Right now, we speak against the enemy. We take authority over the enemy in the lives of people. Right now, God, we ask that you will break that power, Lord, and give people wisdom to walk through their everyday life, Lord, to keep these things from being introduced into their lives, or to break the power that's in their lives with this. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the knowledge and the wisdom in what we're talking about, oh God, with concerning the sleep paralysis. Lord, we know what it is. It's a spiritual thing. And God, we ask that you will help your people to accept it, Lord, so that they'll know how to fight this war. Right now, God, we stand against it. And Lord, we ask that you will send your heavenly angels to protect your saints, Lord, while they sleep at night, Lord. Because your word tells us that you will give us sweet rest, that you will give us sweet sleep. And right now, we break that power, Lord, so that your saints can sleep sweet, Lord. And for those, Lord, who are not a part of your kingdom, we ask, Lord, that you would draw them by your spirit, Lord, because your word says that there's no rest for the wicked. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will overturn their hearts to come to you so that their rest can be sweet as well, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the promises in your word. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to receive those promises. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you again for tuning in to the Raw Spiel. I hope y'all got something out of it. Till next time, God bless you.